Við skulum ekki vakum til marnætur. Það margt sem myrkrið veit, minn hugur þungur.
Welcome to Eerie Iceland. Whether you're captivated by folklore, paranormal, sorcery, the hidden people, haunted things, people or locations in Iceland, you've come to the right place. Here, you'll venture into the dark side of Iceland. I'm Anne.
I'm Vanessa. We're two girl bosses who are obsessed with all of these things. Will you dare to follow us into this unexplainable realm?
All right, Anne. You can have your props. I'm gonna start my own tradition.
A tradition? Well, like, what kind of tradition are you gonna start?
Like, your tradition is like the props. Like, my tradition is gonna give everyone like a chill. Oh, maybe not like a goosebump chill. Okay.
Okay.
Maybe not a chill, more of a cringe, like an awkward cringe.
All right, I'm here for this. Let's hear it.
Awkward ghost jokes.
You're going to tell like awkward ghost jokes like people tell dad jokes?
Yep, it's going to be my thing.
Okay, let's do it. Let's hear it. What do you got for me?
So the first one goes like this. Are you cringing already?
No, my eyebrows are raised. I'm looking right at you. I'm ready for it. Let's hear it.
What's a ghost's favorite makeup to wear?
MAC Cosmetics?
Mascara!
Okay. Yeah. And we have Vanessa, folks.
I think it's hilarious.
I need like a cricket sound.
I have so many more, but like I'm gonna like keep it to like one an episode or something.
All right.
All jokes aside, are you ready for an Icelandic folklore / ghost story set in the 18th century?
18th century. Let's go back in time.
All right. So this story features the ghost Dísa, the sister of one of the main characters, Bjarni. The story takes place in the east of Iceland during the months of February. The weather in Iceland can be quite brutal.
Indeed. I think February is our worst month when it comes to snow.
Right. So January and February are the worst months of the year.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
Look at me being a psychic.
I know. So the reason I'm telling you about the weather during these first time, like during these first months of the year is because the weather plays a really big role in today's story.
Okay.
All right.
She is vicious.
Yeah. Like, oof. So the main characters of the story are Bjarni Thorsteinsson, his sister Þórdís Þorsteinsdóttir, also referred to as Dísa, which is just like the shortening of Þórdís.
Okay.
And a highly regarded farmer named Þorvaldur Ómundsson and his farm hand Jón Bjarnason. So Dísa was a beautiful young woman at the age of 20. She had a lot of pride when it comes to her looks and fashion sense. And she tried her very best to copy the fashion of, like, Danish women.
Was that a thing at the time?
Well, I mean, I'm guessing, like, I don't think she's been to Denmark. It's, like, the 18th century. And to, like, to travel like that. Like, I feel like, I don't know, people may have come here or, you know, been there. But I don't think it was common. Like, today, we are like, oh, let's just hop a flight to, like, New York or, you know, London or whatever. Like back mm-hmm. then you didn't do that. But like she, like in this story, they do mention that like she is inspired by like Danish. I don't think there's magazines back then, but
no.
For some reason, like she's heard of Danish fashion or whatever.
But maybe there's like patterns because women are making their own clothes and stuff. And maybe there's a certain kind of style that is, you know, affluent.
Yeah, definitely. And like people did travel back then, but I don't think you'd be like everyone. So like, let's say you had a town of like, I don't know, 100 people, maybe like two people would travel like ever out of that town during that time.
By ship.
Right. And like that would take forever. So, but yeah, so like when I was doing the research on this, like that was mentioned that like she was just like, she loved fashion and she like really cared about her looks. And ultimately, it seems her pride may have played a big part in her demise.
Ooh.
Yeah. In the story, she lived in Eskifjörður.
Where the heck is Eskifjörður?
So Eskifjörður is up east, close to Seyðisfjörður. Unfortunately, super honest, I have not done a lot of stuff up east because it's like so far away. So
the good news I have.
Okay, yay.
Yay.
Thank God, my like knight in shining armor.
Okay, so the nearest town is Egilsstaðir, or help me. Is that right?
Yeah.
Egilsstaðir.
Good girl.
And it's 40 minutes away or in between, right? So if you're staying in Egilsstaðir, you can absolutely add Eskifjörður to your schedule. And the next town, so if you're thinking about detouring, it's about 15 minutes off of Route 1 before you get to Egilsstaðir. You're going to see a little village called Reyðarfjörður, which is actually a really cool waterfall in that town that you can check out. And then you can go over to Eskifjörður if you want to, you know, get some of these vibes from Vanessa's story.
Yay, Anne, coming to the rescue. Like, ask me about other parts of Iceland. I can help you for sure. The east, not so much. Anyways.
I got your back, girl.
The other characters lived in Seyðisfjörður. And for some reference, all locations mentioned today are in the east of Iceland, like we just said. Traveling today would take about an hour by car. However, in those days, as you might guess, there were no cars and people traveled mainly by foot, horseback, or ship.
You don't say.
Yeah. And like for the fjords, like, ugh. Like, I go up to the West Fjords a lot, and, like, it's fjord after fjord after fjord. And you're like, oh, and in, like, half hour, I'm going to be driving on that side of the fjord. Because, like, you're just, like, in, out, in, out, in, out. And so I think, like, by ship, because they didn't have, like, little speedboats, going by ship would probably also just, like, take forever, like, having to go, like, in and out. Anyway, so, like, let's get back to the story.
I agree. I'm not a fjord lover.
No. Like, they're beautiful, but, like, even when we went north, like, went to Norway, at least there's, like, big tunnels that, like, help. But, like, oof. Having to drive each fjord and having to, like, sail each fjord is, like, a hot mess. But anyway, so, yeah, it was, like, it would be, like, an hour. But back then, they were going by foot and, like, through mountains and stuff. So it took maybe days. And then depending on the weather, like, it's especially this story, it happens in a storm. It could take up to a week. So the story begins when Dísa is going to accompany her brother from Eskifjörður back to his home in Seyðisfjörður. So normally back in the 18th century, women aren't really, I mean, they're important, but they're not, like, valued the way they should have been. Like, they were to, like, take care of anything inside the house. Cooking, cleaning, taking care of the livestock, you know, making clothes, stuff like that. Whereas the men would do, like, the more hard work. Hard work, I don't know, like, cleaning, like, a whole home with not, like, the products we have today sounds like a hot mess. Anyways,
just like in the Gilletrut story that I told, the Icelandic Rumpelstiltskin, like, she was expected to do all of those things and she just wouldn't fucking do it.
So the fact that she's actually allowed to go with her brother is actually, it kind of shows how, like, stubborn she is and how, like, strong-willed she is. She's like, no, I'm going. And he's like, okay, like, oh, okay, sister. So, yeah. So the actual story begins during their travels after they have stayed one night at a lodge along the way. Once they awoke that day, they discovered it was very stormy. And then Bjarni, her brother, he suggests that his sister stays behind as the storm was unforgiving and she was hardly dressed for such a storm. Because as I mentioned earlier, she like had this like huge fashion sense. And so.
So I'm picturing a girl in like heels and a pretty dress.
Yeah, but I don't think they really had heels back then.
But they were like boot heels.
Yeah, they were. But so they were definitely not wearing pants. Like women didn't wear pants. And so they wore long dresses or skirts.
Okay. This is my era.
Right.
I am like such a dress girl.
She's not just wearing like a cotton skirt or a wool skirt that would keep you warm. No, no. She's wearing a leather skirt.
Leather?
A leather skirt. So I don't think it was like a tight pencil skirt, but I don't think it was like a skirt of leather. And she's also wearing a shirt that like is leather. And it goes down to like her elbows, like one of those like quarter like tops, you know. So that meant that her forearms were uncovered and her like ankles were also uncovered. And all she had was like a small scarf on her head. So like no like gloves, no like mittens or like woolly
socks. Maybe she runs hot. Maybe she runs hot.
It is February in the Highlands, basically, and it's a storm. And this is what she's wearing.
I have worn less in storms.
Okay, yeah, but you knew that you were going to get in a super jeep soon. Like, there's no super jeep there. Like, okay. She's not getting in a hot super touché. Jeep. She does not have hot hands. Like, this woman's crazy.
Okay, touche, touche.
But, of course, stubborn Disa refused to stay behind, and they start to argue. She tells him, I'm coming whether you like it or not. So due to this, he, like, gives up and, like, doesn't agree, but, like, just kind of ignores her, and she just kind of, like, follows with him. And so, like, they're both in a bad mood when they start, like, their journey. And throughout the day, the weather got worse and worse and worse. And it got so bad that Bjarni could no longer see in front of himself and therefore wasn't quite sure where he was going. But Disa, being so stubborn, she, like, kept pushing. Like, she, like, I'm doing this voice because I'm imagining her being like, oh, I'm not going to show him that I'm cold. I'm fine. Like, I don't know, like, I wasn't there, but, like, I can imagine she's just, I'm gonna do it, and she's just, like, shivering.
Sheer willpower is getting her through.
Right, but then now Bjarni can't see anything, he's like, fuck, what now? And so she's, like, pushing herself to the limits, and so Bjarni decides that he needs to, like, build a shelter for the two of them, and they just both need to stop. When he's nearly finished making this shelter, he notices there's a break in the storm and he's kind of able to see his surroundings. So he tells his sister to wait in the shelter. I'm going to investigate. But Disa, like freezing in her weird leather skirt, she's like, please, 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 please don't leave me. But he doesn't listen. And then again, the weather worsens. And again, like now he's by himself, like a little bit away from her, but he can't see anything.
That's
can't
dangerous.
See, yeah, he can't see her. He can't see the hut or like this weird like thing he's made. And so he just starts like wandering. And before he knew it, he had somehow reached Seyðisfjörður. Because, like I said, it's not that far between, but, like, he doesn't know where he's going. So he's just, like, walking kind of like in this, like, weird, not fog, because there's not fog. It's, like, for fog to happen, it needs to be, like, the day before was hot and the next day is cold, or the day is cold and then it turns to hot and that's why fog happens.
Look at you, little Miss Scientist.
I know. Like, I love when fog comes. I'm like, ooh, it's because tomorrow's going to be cold, or, oh, tomorrow's going to be hot. Anyways.
Let's welcome Vanessa, the meteorologist.
Oh, whatever. But yeah, so he's not walking through fog. He's walking basically through like a blizzard. So like,
okay, that's what I was envisioning.
Right. But like, it's like thick, like fog. So it's like a thick blizzard.
It's like
so,
a whiteout. We call it a whiteout.
Right. Perfect. Thank you. He's walking this whiteout. And then before he knows it, he's like close to Seyðisfjörður, but which is where they were going. But on his way there through this weird whiteout, he like falls. And so, like, when he...
Like, face plants?
Like, yeah, like falls down, like a... Like, he doesn't know which one, obviously, but, like, one of the cliffs. He, like... I'm not, like, a huge Everest-type cliff, but he, like, rumbles down a cliff and, like, okay. Hits his head a little bit. And before he knows it, he's in Seyðisfjörður. But because he hit his head, he's a little bit, like, disoriented.
Okay.
Right. And so he comes to this farm in Seyðisfjörður called, like... Fjörður or fjörður. And it's
literally translates to fjord.
Right. And so he goes to the farm of this farmer named Þorvaldur Ögmundsson.
That's a nice name.
Yeah. And so he's like so confused and disoriented. He's actually not able to speak when he gets there.
He's like, just he's a like, mute?
Well, no, he's just like, he probably had a concussion or something. He's okay. Just like not, he's just like so exhausted that like he can't talk. But, like, the owner of this farm, Þorvaldur Ögmundsson, if I talk about him a little bit, he was said to be one of the bravest men, and there was nothing that he feared.
Ooh.
So he was, like, a strong, well-built man and, like, full of energy. And so he welcomed the weak, exhausted Bjarni and tended to his poor health. It wasn't until Bjarni had been at Thorvaldur's farm for a whole day when he finally spoke and told him about his sister.
Wait, sister's still freezing.
Right.
Out like, in the weather right now.
Right, so like now a whole day's gone by. like at him being at the farm. So who knows?
She's got hypothermia.
Right. Like, so maybe 2 days have gone by now. So maybe it was like him traveling in the whiteout for a day. Like, he doesn't know because the whiteout's like so big. And then like he like falls and then he finally gets to this farm. And then we don't know how long has gone since he from Disa to the farm. We don't actually know how long that was. But we do know that he's at the farm for one day when he finally goes like, oh, by the way, my sister is somewhere up in the highlands alone and she's not dressed very well.
So, holy shit.
Yeah. And then he like asks the farmer, please help me find my sister. The farmer, of course, agrees and tells Bjarne that his farmhand, Jón Bjarnason, would accompany the both of them. He ensured Bjarne that Jón was a strong man and he would be able to help in their search for his sister. So they head out to the hills, staying mainly off the beaten path, as Bjarne suspected that Disa would be somewhere there. Because again, like, he's walking in a weird whiteout. Like, they're not like on this like path. They don't know exactly where they're going. They're just like heading in the direction of where they're going. When they reach north of Starfstadsfjall, again, this is like an hour. So they were leaving from Eskifjörður and going to Seyðisfjörður, and that's an hour today by car. So they're probably, like, Disa's probably lost somewhere in the middle of that.
That's nuts.
So, like, in today, like, you'd probably drive half hour and you'd find Disa. But, like, back then, like, so if the whole journey took 3 days, it would take 1.5 days to find her, basically. So, like, if we put the math together, I'm not great at math, but, you know, that was kind of an easy equation. Anyways, so when they reached north of Starfstadsfjall, they heard a very loud crash.
Like an avalanche?
It can't really be explained. So it's like, and it echoes through all the nearby mountains. And so, startling Bjarne and Jón, but Þorvaldur, of course, he's not scared of anything. He like leads the men in the direction of the loud noise until they were in Stavstal to the east. So like not in Stavstal, but like east of Stavstal. The day was coming to an end, but it was still bright enough to see. Remember, this is February. We have like, what, 5 hours of daylight?
Yeah, depending on where you are.
Yeah, and then if there's like snow, it's like bright. Like, have you noticed, like, even in winter, like on the dark, dark, dark times, like it almost feels like it's brighter outside only because like everything's white. But anyways.
100%.
Mm-hmm. So it's all of a sudden, like, Bjarne sees something about a stone throw away from them. They go to investigate and discover it's the weird shelter that, like, Bjarne had made for him and Disa.
Okay, that's good.
It's so good.
That means they're, like, walking in the tracks?
Right. But the shelter wasn't exactly as they had left it because, like, obviously, a big storm. And so, like, part of it was gone. So only, like, the bottom of it was left. And remember, in the beginning of the story, well, not the beginning, but when I was talking about it, like, he never actually finished the shelter because it was when he was building it that he realizes that, like, that the wind, like, the weather had gotten better. And so he's like, I'm going to go. And she's like, no, don't leave me. Anyways. So they get there and it's like only the half part of the shelter's left. And it's as though they see Þórdís. And so she's not lying there as a dead person would be. Instead, she's kind of like set up. And her skirt's pulled up to her midsection. So, like, her skirt's, like, around her stomach.
So her legs are bare then?
Yeah, because remember, like, she wasn't wearing wool socks or anything. So she, like, her, like, weird, like, leather skirt is now, like, around her, like, midsection.
She's folded it up.
Yeah, or, like, weather or something. And then she's, like, frozen solid.
What the actual fuck? Mm-hmm.
So, like, Þorvaldur, like, the fearless farmer, instructs the men to help him with her body. He asked Bjarne to help him remove the frozen skirt as he wanted to put her into pants for the travel back. So this is probably the first time a woman's ever worn pants.
And he's just got an extra pair of pants that, like, he can just put on her.
Like, I guess Bjarne had told him, like, oh, she's not dressed quite well. And okay. So Bjarne, like, Þorvaldur was like, well, let me take these pants with me. Anyways, so he asks him, like, her brother to, like, help him take the skirt off of her. And he wants to put her, like, in these pants for their travels. And, like, Bjarne is, like, kind of scared, but he, like, agrees. And he, like, starts to break away the ice. And it is then that Disa lets out a loud and heavy groan. She was like, oh, well, I don't know. I wasn't there.
That was good. Can I hear that again?
No. And so, like, she obviously, like, scared her brother to freaking death. And, like, the other guy, not Thorvaldur.
No, yeah, no. He's fearless.
He doesn't get scared of anything. But he reacts by, like, thrusting Disa into the ground and says to her, it is useless for you, Disa, to show me these tricks. Because then I'm not afraid at all. And if you continue them, know that I will tear you nerve to nerve and throw you limb by limb to the wolves.
As if we have wolves here.
Exactly. Like, we have foxes, but, you know, whatever. Then he says, but in contrast, you will be a regular casket for us in transportation, and we won't bother you with you anymore. And I will make you a coffin and put you in it in the burial ground of a Christian man, although I don't think you deserve it.
Those are heavy words.
Yeah, this guy's mean. And, like, he then proceeds to prepare as he had intended and calls the two men to help carry her. So, this is where the story kind of, like, there's, like, a lot of, like, thoughts on this. Some say that Disa was, in fact, not dead.
That she's a Draugr?
No. That she was, in fact, very much alive. Okay. Maybe not, like, alive, like, maybe, like, weak and, like, holding on to, like, the last breath of life. So, like, you know, like, because you know when you freeze, you, like, everything, like, slows down. And then when they, like, they move her, maybe she's just like, like, oh, my God, there's more fight in me or whatever. So,
I can picture that.
But because Thorvaldur was a very superstitious man, he wasn't taking the risk. Some say that while Disa and Bjarni, so, like, in the beginning of the story, when Disa and Bjarni are, like, first walking this, like, journey, that they had brandy with them. And that Disa found the brandy when Bjarni left her. And so she was, like, drinking brandy while she was alone in, like, the weird, like, shelter thing.
To keep warm.
To keep warm, exactly. But because Thorvaldur was suspicious, he didn't take any chances. And the reason why he was suspicious, I'm going to get into that, is because Thorvaldur knew this very knowledgeable man named Hermann, who had once told him how, like, ghosts and zombies, like, come back. And so Thorvaldur, actually, where they found Disa, he could see footprints. Her footprints.
Like, she left her body?
So, okay. The man, the knowledgeable man, Hedman, like, back in his town, told him once that in order for a ghost or zombie to come back to life, and when I say life, I don't mean, like, to be alive, but, like,
the Walking Dead.
Right. Like, to come back to haunt, or, like, Walking Dead, or, like, a Draugr, and she said, they would need to walk for a while, turn around, retrace their footprints, and walk the same way back. They would need to complete this 3 times.
Interesting.
In order to come back. But it seems that Disa was not able to complete the 3rd task, which is why they thought maybe she wasn't, like, dead and, like, trying to become a zombie, but she was actually alive. And that's why, like, because Thorvaldur saw these footprints, he's like, oh, she's a zombie. She's, like, a walking dead. Like, we're not taking any chances. And that's why he, like, threatens her. Like, to, like, tear her, like, limb by limb, because he thinks that she's, like, a walking dead, like, zombie. Anyways, back to the story. So the men then proceeded to journey back to town, and they reached a farm called Fjadrasel. Again, this is, like, between the 2 towns, and it's not far off where they're going, but the weather's getting a lot worse, and it's a lot of mountains, so they have no choice but to stop the journey and rest while the weather, like, settled. Thorvaldur asked the farm owner if he and his men could lodge there for the night. The farmer was like, oh, hell no. Like, I can tell that whatever you're transporting has some kind of, like, bad juju. Like, stay away from me. And so Thorvaldur was like, oh, okay, no. Like, don't worry about it. Like, what we're transporting doesn't have to come with us. I'll just leave it out in this, like, weird, like, storage area, and we'll come into the warm house. And so the farmer was like, fine. But he made his, like, 2 sons, whose names were both actually Björn. Funny, he has 2 sons. They're both named Björn. Don't ask me. Don't know why, but that's their names. He asks both his sons to sit at the front of the door, like inside the house in the warm, but like inside, like guarding the door basically. And they both have these like stakes, these like horns on like these sticks. And they're just both sitting there guarding the door from whatever the weird like transporting goods, AKA Disa. They're like guarding the door because like they can feel that something's evil's happening.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that night, Þorvaldur, the fearless farmer, he never went to bed. He occasionally would go out throughout the night to like check on the weather to like see if they could like get up and go or whatever. But once during that night, Disa appeared to him.
Like in person?
Yeah.
In his room?
No, like he's outside okay. looking at the weather. And then he's like trying to go back in the house. And Disa's like, uh-uh, like you're not going in here. And so he's just like, not scared of anything. So he just like pushes her out of the way and like goes back in the house. So it's like she was preventing him from going in, but he ignores her. So the next day, the weather has cleared and the men are able to continue home. But they say that ever since those men, the fearless farmer, Bjarni, the dead Þórdís, aka Disa, and Jón, after they had stayed at this weird, like, farm, there's been this weird, like, scratching sound at this farm ever since in the place where they kept Disa.
What?
Yeah. But, like, this is where, like, that farm and, like, that farmer and his two sons, Bjorn, is just, like, done. There's no more story about them. But to this day, apparently, like, if you're close to that weird storage room, you can hear, like, Disa's like ghost, like clawing or something.
Ooh, that gives me goosebumps.
Yeah. So once the three men and Disa are back in Seyðisfjörður, Þorvaldur, the fearless farmer, had a coffin made for Disa and had her transferred to Dvergasteinn, where she had a Christian burial conducted by the priest Þorsteinn Jónsson. However, the next morning, a strange, deep hole appeared at the foot of Disa's grave.
Just like one vertical hole.
Yeah. But it was filled in. Only to be found open again the next morning. Again, it was filled in. But the hole was found open again the third morning.
Wait. When is it getting filled in? I don't understand.
Like the priests and the men are filling it in. They like wake up and there's like this fucking hole and they're like,
fill it in.
Yeah. They're like, what the fuck?
And
like,
so she comes out at night.
Yeah. So like, yeah. So like at the foot of her grave, there's a hole, kind of like she buried herself out or something.
Okay.
And so every morning when they see this hole, they're like, oh no. Like stay in, you lady, or something. I don't know. They like fill in the hole again. And this happens like three times. And then on the third day, the priest was like, like done, finished. And so he fills the hole himself. And it says the hole is never opened again.
Interesting.
However, this is not how the story ends for Bjarni, Disa's brother. Ever since his sister was buried, she would visit him while he slept. She would not try to conceal herself. And she could sometimes even be seen during the day. She would try to like strangle him to death every time he like tried to go to sleep. So if he was taking a nap during the day, she's like, I don't care if it's daytime. You're going to bed. I'm gonna strangle you.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so this happened so many times that like Bjarni went to the priest, Þorsteinn, the one that buried her. And he was like, hey, please help me. I don't know what to do. Like she's trying to kill me. So he receives like protection from the priest for Disa. And it is said that Disa was never able to harm him personally ever again. However, because she couldn't harm him personally, it is said that she affected the people and animals closest to Bjarni.
Like, I'm going to kill your dog.
Kinda. So you see, Bjarni had 13 children.
Whoa, that is a lot of freaking children.
Because back then, no birth control. I mean, long-ass winters, cold-ass winters.
But you also needed a bunch of kids to man your fucking farm.
Right. And you're bored. So, like, you know, if you got pregnant, that's just what happened, right? And you need people to, like, you know, take care of the farm and stuff. So, yeah, he has 13 kids, all who die at a young age, suddenly. People believe that Disa was to blame for their sudden demise. She accompanied Bjarni until his death, often causing disturbances, attacking animals, and sometimes even assaulting people.
All in Bjarni's life.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that
she's vengeful.
I know. And thus ends the story of Bjarni Disa, as she is called. And this is said to be the account of Þorvaldur, the fearless farmer. So this is like his account of the story.
Wait. This isn't a folklore story. This is like #true life.
#true life. Like these people existed, but it's like a folklore story. And like all folklore stories, like they go through generation to generation generation and they change.
Like the telephone game.
So right. Exactly. So I don't know. Like, what do you think, Anne? Like, do you think she was alive when they found her?
I mean, there has been instances where you've like read in like the news and stuff where they fucking found people in perfect condition and then they just unthawed them and their heart got going and stuff, right?
Right. But this is where I'm a little bit confused because, okay, if she was alive and Þorvaldur, because he was suspicious and thought she was like the undead or like the walking dead or whatever— like, if he's the reason she actually dies, why didn't she haunt him?
Like, that's a good point.
Is she just mad that her brother left her? Is she still stuck on that because she's, like, a 20-year-old and she's immature?
Yeah. I would still be stuck on the fact that, like, he left me.
Right.
He wouldn't let me come along.
But Þorvaldur is the one that, like, I will serve your bones to the wolves or whatever, you know? Yeah. I don't know. I just, at that part, for me, like, I don't know where I stand with it. Like, if she was dead before then, I can understand her, like, going after her brother. But if Þorvaldur is the one that actually killed her and she was just, like, drunk and, like, barely alive and he killed her, I think that she would haunt him.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like the jury's still out on this one.
Yeah. So this story has actually inspired a book called Bjarni Disa, and it was written by Kristín Steinsdóttir and was published in 2012.
There's like a whole novel on this.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I really like the author's like version. She believes that like Þorvaldur like
killed her.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's also a song about Bjarni Disa called Bjarni Disa by Snorri Helgason and was released in 2017. This song can be found on YouTube and Spotify. I personally really like the song, but it almost feels like it was written in like 1950 or something.
Really?
It's like, Disa. Like, I was just like, this came out 2017. It was like weird because it feels like a folklore-y, like
1950. But is the dude singing it? Is he into folklore?
I don't know.
Maybe
but
he's like paying homage.
But like, I really like that song because like, it's hard for me to tell you guys, listeners, to speak English. I'm sorry. I'm very blessed. And I speak both languages. I mean, most of our listeners probably speak other languages too. And I'm jealous. Anyways, hope I didn't hurt anyone's feelings. But like his direct translation of the song is like him basically telling the story. Like she's stuck in the cold and like, Disa, like, where are you? It's a good song. I like it. But like, it feels like it was written way back when, but it was actually released 2017.
And don't worry, folks, we're going to link these two items in the show notes today so you can buy the book if you want to read. Is it in English?
I don't know if an English version has been given out, but I know it has been given out in Icelandic and you can also like listen to the story.
Perfect. That's all they need.
Like, don't understand anything, but yeah.
And then we'll for sure link also in the show notes with the song so that you can get this Disa.
I like the song. I really do. It's like... But, like, if you don't know it, you'd be like, oh, this is a good song. But then if you, like, understand the words, you're like, ooh, that's kind of fucked up.
See?
Eerie Iceland.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yay. Well, thanks for that, Vanessa.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Bjarni Disa, people.
Super fun story.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us today, guys. And make sure if you love what you heard that you leave us 5 stars.
Ciao.
Thank you so much for venturing into the dark side of Iceland with us. We hope our stories resonate with you.
Stay tuned for more Nightmare-worthy podcasts. And if you want to hear more, give us a follow on whatever podcast platform you're listening to.
You can also find us on Instagram at Erie Iceland and by searching Erie Iceland on Facebook.
See you next time.